Just hold on to the promises.
Six minutes after the hour, welcome back to Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Bill Arnold is me. I'm here in studio all week filling in for him as he's taking a nice, well-deserved break. One of the million-dollar questions we all have is, who am I? Why your answer to that question really matters. It's always that running narrative in our head. Who am I? And I think for many people, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't know who you are, and you're never going to know who you are. And so, but the narrative changes all the time. If you're not in Christ, I mean, even for me, little simple things like I've got an appointment today at the Genius Bar at the Apple Store. Now, I'd like to think that I know a little bit about stuff, but you know, I'm basically going to be that old guy at the Apple Store confused by technology today. You know, and I called and they said, "Well, you need an appointment at the Genius Bar," and I said, "I don't really need the Genius Bar. I just need someone slightly smarter than me bar. That's all I need." So I'm going to go get that figured out. But right now, I'm asking, who am I? And I'm that old guy at the Apple Store, confused by technology, and I don't like it. But I do know who I am in Christ, and that is because I got saved when I was 13, and my life has never been the same. And I have on the studio line this morning David Wheaton. He's a husband. He's a father. He's a son. He's an author. He's an awesome man of God. He's a role model to me. And everybody knows that David's also a really good tennis player. So, David, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Bill. And it was interesting in how you just introduced me that you talked about all these levels of identity. Who am I? Am I a former professional tennis player? Am I a husband? Am I a father? Am I a Minnesotan?
Yeah.
Am I a radio? You know, those things are really core to who we are. We all have a perception of who we are as far as our identity. And it's very key because how we see ourselves, how we see our identity is really how we're going to pursue our lives. So if we see ourselves primarily as a businessman, for instance, that's going to be the driving force of our life. And so why we're bringing this topic up today is that some of our listeners may know that Jerry Bridges, who was a very highly respected and beloved author, he worked in ministry for Navigators for years. He just recently went to be with the Lord about 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. He was 86 years old. He was the author of more than 20 books, no doubt recognize some of the titles, The Pursuit of Holiness, The Pursuit of Godliness, Respectable Sins, Holiness Day by Day. He had devotionals. He was a great writer. And I think above all, Jerry Bridges was an extremely humble man. And one of the books he wrote was entitled, Who Am I? Your Identity in Christ, and how he felt this was so important for Christians to be able to live in this world where there's so much distraction, there's so much vying for our hearts, there's so many different identities we can put on, and it's meant to focus us on, for believers who have come to the Lord through repentance and faith, that our identity primarily needs to be in Christ, because that changes our perspective on everything.
David, I don't want to start name dropping, but I've done several events with Jerry, and a couple of them were out at Glen Eyrie at Colorado Springs at the Navigators headquarters. And your description of him being a humble man, I have to tell you, that is spot on, because I read several of his books before I ever met him, and I thought, oh, this guy's going to be this overpowering giant with a big ego because he's so smart and he's got so much to say. And the first time I met him and he got up to speak, I thought, that's him? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, he's just so gentle and humble, and he shows up with a servant's heart, not trying to draw any attention to himself, but wanting to draw all of attention to the Lord. It was so strong. It left such an impression on me.
Yeah, that is definitely, I think, the impression that almost anyone gets when they meet Jerry Bridges is his humility. That is the defining character quality that God built into his life. As a matter of fact, he went beyond what most of us Christians do in trying to get our actions right. He really focused on what were his attitudes, his inner motives. And that was the book, Respectable Sins, that we have these respectable sins in our life that the church doesn't really point out, you know, like adultery and homosexuality and, you know, lying and so forth. He went deeper and said, no, it's these attitudes within our heart. You know, do we speak badly about other people? Do we slander? Do we gossip? These things that are sort of just not brought out as much in the church as being very important to have a life honoring to God. And one interesting sort of memorial tribute that I read about Jerry pointed out that he had learned seven in his most recent book, by the way, which is actually coming out this summer. So after he's gone to be with the Lord, he has a book coming out, which would be very interesting to read. It didn't come out. It's not coming out after. This was an autobiography he wrote. He wrote seven lessons that he felt were really important. And if I could just read the seven, they're very short.
Please.
He said, number one, the Bible. Now, this is the legacy of Jerry Bridges. The Bible is meant to be applied to specific life situations. I thought that was a great point, because it's not just to take in the Bible for intellectual knowledge, but we're meant to, God wants us to apply it to our daily life right here in 2016. Number two, he said, at all who trust Christ and Savior as Savior are united with him in a loving way, just as the branches are united with the vine. And that's really what we're talking about as far as our identity. When we come to Christ, we're united with him both in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. In other words, he died to sin, so should we. He is raised victoriously over sin and temptation, so can we when we live in Christ. So there's that identity piece. Number three, the pursuit of holiness and godly character is neither by self-effort nor simply letting Christ live his life through you. So there's that tension, for God is at work in you both to will and to do his pleasure. So who is it? Is it us that sanctifies ourselves, or is it God? And there's all kinds of doctrines in Scripture that have that tension. You know, even in salvation, is it God who chooses us before the foundation of the world, or is it us who repent and believe? You know, we're called to repent and believe. And so he really, I think, balanced that particular tension well. And I won't go into a run-on sentences, but there's a few more.
Mm-hmm. Please keep going, David.
Okay.
This is good stuff.
Okay. The fourth big lesson that Jerry Bridges learned was the sudden understanding of the doctrine of election was a watershed event for me that significantly affected my entire Christian life. And I just talked about that one, that it's understanding the great doctrines of grace that somehow beyond our understanding before the foundation of the world, God in his providence and sovereignty chose some believers to come to him in saving faith. Yet that doesn't mean that Christians still aren't called to make a decision to repent and believe in the gospel. And that's that tension that you try to understand that, you just can't understand it. But the Bible, God wants us to believe it because it gives us an understanding of how thankful and grateful we should be that it wasn't as a result of our own will, just our own good purposes or our own intelligence or whatever, that we came to a saving faith in Christ. Number five is the representative union of Christ and the believer means that all that Christ did in both his perfect obedience and his death for our sins is credited to us. There's another point on the identity, understanding Romans 6, how we can have victory over sin. Well, sometimes we get so frustrated, we can't overcome sin in our lives, but when we realize that we are united with Christ. In other words, we have the same power that gave Christ victory over sin. We have that same power in our life and also the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us overcome. Point six is the gospel is not just for unbelievers and they're coming to Christ. And that means that the gospel isn't just about our salvation. It's about our daily sanctification and realizing what Christ did in the cross has application for us after we're saved. And the final point is we are dependent on the Holy Spirit to apply the life of Christ to our lives. And this is a great point. I think often we think in terms of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, can be a little de-emphasized. You know, it's Father, Son, and Holy Scriptures. But No, the Bible's clear that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he indwells the believer, gives the believer power to live the holy life. Without the Holy Spirit, we can really do very little or nothing. And the Scriptures are simply and majorly the revelation God gives us to know, to understand his will, so we can apply it through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, David. I was pretty certain I was like the most humble guy that I knew until I met Jerry Bridges.
Yes.
And then, boy, things change in my world. It's 45 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, lots more with David Wheaton. You're listening to Dr. Bill Meyer Live. Bill Arnold is in studio taking over for him this week. Be back in a minute.
I'm Ryan Thomas. Join me Saturday mornings at 9 on the Twin Cities Faith Radio. We can trust our God. He knows what he's doing, though it might
hurt now. 47 minutes after the hour, welcome back. We're talking to David Wheaton, and we're talking about who am I? our identity. I remember in high school, my counselor, my guidance counselor, said that he told me I was uniquely unqualified for most jobs. I think that was a compliment, but I'm not sure. But we do use that all the time when we identify to other people. We always talk first and foremost about what it is we do. We don't talk about who we are. We talk about what we do. And I suppose to some degree that's socially acceptable. And David, how do you share boldly and draw people in by telling them who you are?
Well, I think in the way you look at yourself first, you know, what we have in our heart, you know, what a man thinks in his heart, that comes out. And so the way we perceive and view ourselves is key. Again, that's what Jerry Bridges was so emphasized in that little book he wrote, Who Am I? And by the way, I would encourage listeners today, if you don't know about Jerry Bridges, I mean, he was one of the greats of the faith of the last 7,500 years, written 20 books. And just go on Amazon or wherever you get your books and look up some of his books and maybe just pick one. Maybe the one we're talking about today, Who Am I? And it talks about this issue of identity. But to your question, Bill, about it starts with how you perceive yourself in your heart and what you're taking in. You know, there's so many verses in Scripture that we often sort of miss and that deal with this identity issue. So, for instance, you look at a passage like Colossians 3, which is a great passage. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, if in other words, if you're a believer, if you're united with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind in the things above, not in the things that are on earth. And then here's the next passage, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So just the implication throughout that whole passage is your identity now as a believer is identified first and foremost as a follower of Jesus Christ. And therefore, since you're a follower of Jesus Christ, see yourself primarily that way, above and beyond even being a husband, father, wife, mother, school teacher, businessman, snowboarder, whatever you love most in life. We need to love God most in our life and see our unity with Christ, because then, as that passage states, it changes us. It helps us to keep seeking things above where Christ is seated. It helps us to set our minds on things above instead of primarily things that are on earth.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Augustine, David, that talked about disordered loves. And it's not that we love bad things, but we love good things too much. We mm-hmm. put them above God and put them above our devotion to Christ, and that's where we get into big trouble.
Yeah, and I would say this is that's exactly right. It's what, you know, life is about what we love most. And that comes out in what we do in our lives. And so that is it's a good reminder that we need to keep on trying to foster a greater love for Christ in God by through his word, through prayer, through these things that we do every day, because the world just slowly pulls and chips away at our affections. And when we're not in the word, we're not renewing our minds, when we're not in prayer, our minds get easily distracted and we start to love the things that God does not want us to love most. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a father. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies. There's nothing wrong with being a great businessman or businesswoman. Those are good things. But God does not want those things number one in our life. He does not want those things to be our primary identity. And we get reminded what our primary identity should be as a believer when we get in the Word every day. And hear sound teaching from sound pastors. That's how we stay focused on our identity, number one identity in Christ.
Mm-hmm. One of Jerry's books, which I really loved, was The Pursuit of Holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
his first one.
Yeah, it was an outstanding book. It got me hooked with his writing right away. And one of the things we don't hear very much anymore in this world is the pursuit of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nothing, and this is one of the things that you bring to the table all the time. You keep reminding us all the listeners, of the pursuit of holiness. So you're a great walking example of that. But speak to that, David, because that message has gotten shoved under the rug today,
well,
hasn't it?
Very much. And you know, what you're talking about, Bill, is sanctification, being set apart. You know, we often talk about salvation, need to be saved. Well, that's absolutely the case. But salvation actually has three tenses to it. There's justification, you know, that God declaring us righteous when we come to a point of repentance of our sin and putting our faith in who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us on the cross. That's justification. We go from being an unbeliever to a believer. But it doesn't. God doesn't want to stop there.
Mm-hmm.
After justification comes a second tense, and what you just mentioned is sanctification, being set apart, the pursuit of holiness. You know, Romans 8 talks about God wants us to be more conformed to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. You know, Romans 6, I love this passage in Romans 6. He says, for when you were slaves of sin, Paul says, you were free in regard to righteousness. In other words, you're either a slave of sin or you're a slave of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And the next verse says, therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. In other words, there's no benefit to the lives of sin that we used to live before we came to Christ, to practicing sin. The outcome of those things is death. And I think that's so, I just remember my own life. That is so true. There's, you know, the sin we pursue, there's pleasures in it, but the Bible says it's a passing pleasure. There's no benefit to it at all besides this personal indulgence for a moment. And there's so much greater benefit and fulfillment and satisfaction through pursuing holiness, through becoming sanctified in life, to being set apart. I think that's been largely lost. I agree with you. It's been largely lost in American evangelicalism, the pursuit of holiness. And just to briefly touch on the third point, the third tense of salvation is the glorification. So justification, sanctification, glorification. It's I have been saved from sin, justification. I am being saved from sin, sanctification. I will be ultimately totally saved from sin in my glorification in heaven.
Mm-hmm. David, we only have about a minute left. And I did want to start the program by talking about all the things that I identify with you, because as much as I have admired you and your tennis career, I've got that way down the list of stuff that's important in the world of David Wheaton. I have first and foremost a man of God, and then it goes from there. It goes to, you know, husband, father, son, friend, brother in Christ, all that stuff. And it, as you come across people and as you share your hope and faith with others, when you pursue holiness in this world, it can appear arrogant to the lost. Because you're so self-righteous, or you're just you know Mr. Pure and all this, and the world does not like that.
That's a very interesting point, Bill, and I think you're right. And I think when we have that thought, Jerry Bridges would want us to analyze that thought and see where that thought is coming from, and see the motivation of our heart, why we have that thought. And to realize that we should be to look to others who maybe are further along in their faith, and to think, you know, how did they get there? How can I get there? Instead of having a resentful feeling about it, thinking in terms of where does God want me to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very interesting thing. But to your point about me personally, the way I see myself, Bill, is that anything I am, or anything that, you know, I've done or anything like that, it comes from the fact that God has given me anything I have, and I know exactly where I would be and where I was before Jesus Christ came into my life and changed me, and his Holy Spirit came in to give me the ability even to overcome the things I could never overcome on my own in my life. So I would be nowhere without the faith and the sanctification power that God's given me.
Yeah, that's a great testimony, David. Thanks so much for sharing. A big hello to Mom and Dad that I know they're listening. So have a great
day. They love you, Bill.
We love you, too. I love you, too. Have a great day, and I will talk to you again soon, I hope.
Looking forward to it, Bill.
Thanks a lot, brother. It's 56 minutes after the hour. Welcome again to Bill Meyer Live. It's Bill Arnold sitting in for him this week. I'll be back in just a minute.